In the midst of our ever-changing culture, today's parents are caught between a rock and a hard place at times when it comes to our children's education. Though most would probably agree that the average public school would not be the go-to place for developing a child's Christian faith, most Christian families still send their kids there anyway, and this is largely because many Christian parents don't feel that there's a viable option. Well, today, we'll be talking with a man and his son who, although they knew of viable options, still chose the way of public schools, at least for this gentleman's two boys. So stay tuned for some enlightened conversation, some hope and encouragement as we explore the educational options for your family and, more important, how to lift up Christ wherever you may find yourself. You're listening to Licensed to Parent. Well, Trace, I know that you are a pretty vocal advocate for homeschooling, but our guest today has opted for a different route from what you so often promote here on Licensed to Parent. And I know that although them's could be fighting words, as some might say, they're not. We've got an excellent opportunity to show how to be salt and light, regardless of the option you take.
That's right. Listen, anyone who listens to this program with any frequency at all knows that we have to speak in generalities in so many of the subjects that we discuss because we're speaking to a general audience. But I certainly don't promote the average public school to the average Christian family today. But with every average, there's an exceptional. I didn't mess my words up. I didn't say exception, although that's true too. Exceptional situations, exceptional kids, exceptional families, exceptional schools. And I think that this may be the case with our guest today. I am, however, looking forward to a friendly dialogue and bringing some hope, some help to those families who find themselves with no options, or for those who feel that the Lord has led them and their kids to intentionally penetrate the darkness. There are the Daniels out there today. There are the Jeremiahs, the Timothys, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednegos. At age 14 or 15, some parents have real men living in their home, while others have 24-year-old kids, you know?
Right.
So I think Rick has talked to him a couple times. I think he's done a great job. And Rick, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast, brother.
Rich, Trace, it is so good to be with you guys today.
Well, congratulations on what you're doing with your two boys. We've talked on the phone a couple of times before the broadcast, and I think we understand that we're really on the same page with this whole school thing. You obviously have a lot of confidence in your kids, their school, and in God, of course, or you wouldn't have them in public school. But with homeschool as a viable option for you, how'd you come to conclude that public school was the route that you and your boys were supposed to take?
Well, thanks, Trace. That's a really good question. You know, I'm just like every other parent, you know, who loves God, who has a passion for God. We know that probably the deepest heart commitment that we have is to see that our kids are walking in faith with Jesus Christ. Amen. And that they own a personal relationship with God. And I know, for every parent that's listening, that's what we want more than anything else. I mean, you know, if you could say, you know, what's one thing that you would wish for your kids? I want to see them walk with God. And so that whole choice of school then comes into play, because obviously that's a pretty big chunk of where we spend our time and where a lot of influence comes. And I know in our family, and we've pretty much taken turns on just about every angle you can take. We've had a local Christian school where I've sent my two boys for a little while, and we've done some homeschooling options. You didn't mention I have a daughter. We adopted her from China. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're homeschooling her. But we do have our two oldest boys right now in the local public school system. And I continue to come back that, you know, for every single parent, I mean, this depends so much on the school situation, your personal family situation. Sure. And a lot of it depends on the heart of each of your kids. And you just have to watch that so carefully, because I know very well, as so many of your listeners understand, that today we live in such a pressure culture world. The world just would love to gobble up our kids and to be able to eat them up and spit them out spiritually.
That's right.
We don't want that. No parent wants that.
Right.
And
right.
So it is so vital that we, as mom and dad, are watching this so closely. And I was telling my son this morning, Jordan, I've been watching you so closely. If I saw your heart drifting from God, and I really believed that the school and that environment was becoming the overwhelming influence in your life, I said, guess what? You're going to be home with me in a matter of a heartbeat, you know, and we would figure something out different. But, you know, in our whole approach to parenting, we just really believe that mom and dad are the primary disciple makers of your kids.
No doubt.
And whatever the schooling situation environment is, the most important factors are you as a mom and dad being highly intentional about discipling your kids. And this is where I get really concerned, because a lot of our church culture, you know, we've kind of bought into this idea, well, you know, we can kind of delegate all this stuff. You know, we can delegate academics to the public school. We can delegate all the activities that we do to the coach or to, you know, whoever's going to influence my kid in those areas. And then look, we've got this other compartment where we can delegate spiritually to the youth pastor, or to the children's pastor. We'll kind of let the church take care of that during the 1 or 2 hours a week. They might be able to do that. If that's your strategy, that's a losing strategy. No. I get really concerned about any parent who really believes that they can leave discipleship up to the local church. And what I've been noticing is that there is more and more what I'm sensing is a growing movement of moms and dads who are realizing, you know what, I cannot simply delegate the spiritual development of my kids to somebody else. I mean, this is mom and dad. It is our responsibility to pour into these kids. And so for me, honestly, you know, school is kind of a second or third issue maybe in what is going to shape the hearts of my kid. The primary issue is, what am I doing as mom and dad? And that's something we take real seriously.
Well,
and,
go ahead, Rick.
I was just going to say, Rick, the thing that comes to mind as you're saying all this, we have homeschooled our kids, at least in the younger grades. And, you know, Trace is a big fan of that. And as you said, your daughter is that too. But if we as parents aren't intentionally and proactively disciplining our kids, you know, I can homeschool my kids all I want. That's not going to make them followers
of
Christ.
That's right.
It's the parental involvement in the nurturing and the discipleship to lead them before the altar of Christ and lead them into a walk with Christ. As you just said, no matter where they are, that's the important takeaway here. The schooling is, as you say, a secondary issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in our family, you know, we talk all the time about the difference between being rock and being Play-Doh. In fact, I brought my son with me today. Can I introduce Jordan right now?
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Jordan.
Hey, Jordan.
Jordan, are you rock or Play-Doh? Just curious.
I'm a rock.
Excellent.
Hallelujah.
Well, Jordan really is a rock, and this is what I get excited about. In fact, I even brought some props here. You know, I know this is radio. We're not on television right now. But,
and they look great. They're delightful. Thank you.
Yeah, look at right here. What do I got here, Jordan?
Got a rock.
Yeah, this is a rock. Good deal. And Jordan, I'm going to hand this to you right now. All right, good. And what I want you to do is I want you to squeeze that rock. All right, go ahead. And you're squeezing the rock. All right, That's very good, Jordan. Now tell me, what shape is that rock in now that you've squeezed it, as opposed to where it was before?
Well, it still looks just like a rock.
Still looks just
no different.
Same shape, hasn't gone anywhere. All right, so that's a rock. All right, now I got this other thing here. Go ahead and crack that open for me. Tell me what we got there.
Well, we got some nice, good old original blue Play-Doh.
Oh, good deal. All right, go ahead and squeeze that for me right up by the microphone there, and let's see. There you go. There's our Play-Doh. All right, good deal. Now what shape is that Play-Doh in?
It's flat.
It's flat. Now what shape is it in?
Now it's in a round ball.
Oh, so whatever shape your hand is, yep, it kind of conforms to that. I think you guys know where we're going with this. I mean, what God says so clearly in Romans, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And Trace, Rich, I know you guys as parents share the same passion and concern that I have. I want my kids to be rocks. It is so easy in this world to just be Play-Doh people and to conform to the world around us. And yes, I agree with you that in our public schools and for a lot of our Christian families, the pressures of that world are so overwhelming that I just see a lot of Play-Doh people, even among our church families. It is so vital that we raise our kids to know that they are rocks. And you asked me as a parent, you know, how can I be comfortable in sending my kid to a public school environment? Well, that's the answer. I really have trained and raised my kids to be rocks so that when they go and the winds are blowing and the pressures are there and they're confronted with a very real world environment, that they're able to stand strong. And here's why I get excited about that. Because I know that it doesn't matter whether your kid is 2 or 12 or eventually out of the house at 18 or 22. At some point, they are going to be confronted with a world that is going to try and squeeze them into Play-Doh. And my whole point is this. I want my kid, while he is under my roof, to be able to debrief every day, to be able to know how can I navigate these pressures so that he can be a rock and choose to stand strong in the midst of a culture that is so anti-God.
Absolutely. I mean, all you got to do is watch TV, and there's 1,000 teachable moments just there. But Rich, you know, he took the words out of my mouth. It was the key to this thing is intentionality. And, you know, like all Christian parents should be today, I mean, you truly had to be intentional about preparing your boys for this task. But what would you say to parents who have yet to be as intentional as you've been as they contemplate their child's educational future?
Well, I think that's everything. I mean, you just have to come up with a strategy. You can't just sit there and be passive. I think passive parenting in today's culture is a recipe for failure. I mean, we might have been able to get away with that, you know, 20, 30, 40 right. years ago as parents. And, you know, at some point, you know, we were kind of still surrounded by a somewhat Judeo-Christian environment. And kind of the whole culture was raising, you know, our kids to be somewhat moral and pointed in the right direction. You know, we knew the difference between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, today, the boundaries, I mean, we're playing on a football field with no boundaries, you know, right. And our kids today are trying to navigate a moral minefield. And so if we are not intentional, the default position is going to just lead to hearts that just aren't locked in for God. And I want my kids to just own this relationship. You know, see, that's the whole thing. I can be passionate about following Christ, but I can't decide that for my kid. He's going to have to choose that himself. And right. we've been real clear. God does not have any grandchildren. All right. So that's if right. I am God's child, that doesn't necessarily mean that my kid is automatically in. No. And I think a lot of church families maybe approach it that way. Well, you know what? They're just kind of in and around the environment. No, that is not a winning strategy. A winning strategy means that you've got to be intentional and do some things on a daily basis
yeah.
to make sure that you are living a spiritual reality in your home where Jesus isn't just a compartment of your day, but he is just the center focus of every day of your life.
Absolutely. What were some of the specific steps that you took to prepare your kids to take on the public school system? And what role did apologetics and maybe understanding a postmodern relativistic worldview have to play in the equation?
That's a great question. We do spend a lot of time just pouring into worldview. I know that's very important to you mm-hmm. and to our listeners, you know, to make sure that our kids are walking away with a worldview. I've heard some of the teachings of Ken Ham. I really like, you know, how he just says, you know, a lot of times just our church culture is just giving these kids just a bunch of stories. We want them to walk away with a worldview where they right. really understand the holistic part of the Bible and how it all fits together. One of the things that to start with is that I want my son to be a self-feeder. I heard from Rob Reno this term called, you know, to make your kid make sure that he's a self-feeder. And I like that because, you know, at some point in time, my kid's going to grow up and he's going to be on his own. So I can't constantly protect him and be there for him. I want him to be able to know that I need to lead this. I need to lead my own life.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, I guess that begs the question then, Jordan, what have you done to become this self-feeder that your dad is talking about?
Well, to be a self-feeder, I've really just tried to, I started a personal Jesus time about 3.5 years ago where I would just get into God's Word every morning, and I've just been able to read a little bit in my Bible, use a devotional book, and then I'll keep a Jesus journal, and in my Jesus journal, I'll write down what I learned that morning and what does God want me to do differently through that. And then I'll just pray, and I'll pray. I'll thank God for a lot of the stuff he's done in my life, and then I'll just pray for some of the other stuff that goes on in my life, and I just really make a good push to get in God's Word every morning.
Well, that's awesome. Jordan, what motivated you to do that?
I really just thought it was the next step to really just get deeper in God's Word as I was starting to get older, and that I just really felt like I need to get into God's word some more.
So you got a little push from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And Dad.
Yeah, it is the Holy Spirit for 18 years.
Well, I suppose
works
so.
Works in conjunction with.
Guys, we need to take a quick break here. You're listening to License to Parent with our host, Trace Embry, and our guests, Rick and Jordan Whitmer, who are bringing a whole new light to public schooling, the choice of public schooling, and how you can be a Daniel in that Babylon, if you will. We'll be talking more with them. And in fact, when we come back, Jordan, I'd like to maybe hear a little bit more of your perspective of what it's been like to go up against some of the challenges in the public school system. We'll be back right after this. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of License to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on License to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on License to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at licensedtoparent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to licensedtoparent.org and click donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
If you've just joined us, you are listening to License to Parent with Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and our guests today, Rick Whitmer and his son, Jordan Whitmer, and we're talking about how to be the Daniel of Babylon, how to send your child into public school, Christian school, even homeschool, but to be a leader for Christ, one who is not conformed, as our Plato example gave us earlier, to the world, but who can stand like a rock and be a real light in this case today, the public school system. So guys, thanks again for being with us. Jordan, as the son in this, as the test case, if you will, for our conversation, I know going through school, I was in public school for a while, private school for a while. You do face some challenges. What are some of the things that as a Christian you had to deal with and stand firm on? What were some of the issues that you wrestled with?
Well, some of the, just the biggest challenge is probably to fit in or not. And really, I don't need to fit in. I'd rather mm-hmm. stand strong for Jesus. I don't really care if I'm popular or if I fit in or not. I just want to stand for Jesus and do the best that I can there. So
that's awesome. Listen, Jordan, what do parents know least about the public school system?
There are just a lot of kids that try to wear different hats in a way. When they're at home, they put on their hat to be with their parents. When they're at church, they put on their hat to be at church. When they're at school, they put on a different hat there. When they're in their activities, they put on a different hat there. When they're with their boyfriend or girlfriend, they'll put on a different hat there, and they're just they really know how to change and kind of really conform to and be different and really be a Plato person just throughout their days. And
we call that compartmentalizing their faith.
Yes.
It's funny, I actually right here, I brought with me, gentlemen, a pie, and I have an apple pie right now. And Jordan, you see my little apple pie here, and I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to take my whipped cream. All right, got that there. There, I've got one slice of this pie right now. Jordan, how many slices of this pie are going to taste like whipped cream?
Just one slice of that pie.
Just one slice, okay. And in fact, that's like a lot of times our Christian families today, you know, we've got a Jesus slice. In fact, we visit that Jesus slice once a week when we go to church, and sometimes even on Wednesday nights when we might go to youth group, or once a year when we go to the retreat. And that's fine. We got a Jesus slice, and he can have that part of my life. But then all these other slices here. I mean, that's my school, and that's my activities, and that's my family, and that's my relationships. That's my girlfriend. None of those have whipped cream on them. Okay, now watch this. All right, now how many slices are going to taste like whipped cream?
The whole pie, everything tastes like whipped cream.
And see, that's what we try and do in our family. We want to make sure that our kids know that every slice of your life needs to be flavored with the heart of Jesus. And wherever you go, we want there to be one you. We want all of that to be flavored with the influence of God's word, living that out in your life.
Okay, I got two things to say. First of all, pass a slice of that pie.
That's
over
right.
Here.
There you go.
Second, we have got to add a webcam to this broadcast.
There you go.
You're the first guest we've had that bring props with you. This is great.
Rick, what are some warning signs that parents need to look for that might signal their child isn't ready to engage the public school environment?
Yeah, and I'm telling you, that's such a fine line, and it just varies so much. I would love to say that I'm the perfect dad. I am not. We make so many mistakes, and have we navigated this just perfectly? You know what? We are just taking it one year at a time with our kids, or even a lot of times just a day at a time to make sure that we're on track. I just would challenge every parent to just really be watching closely, and you know, above all, what is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm just watching my kids constantly to just look at their hearts. In fact, I'll even ask them. I'll ask my sons. I'll ask my daughter. You know, how's your heart today? And they know it's kind of a goofy dad question, you know, and they don't entirely know how to answer that necessarily. But I want them to know, we're watching your heart, because that is what God is looking at. God's looking at our hearts, and he wants to know, is our heart tuned into him? So, you know what? It's hard to say. I'm watching real closely. Are my kids coming home, and do I sense that they are getting more influenced by their peers? Are they being tugged? Are they being pulled? You're watching closely because, you know, hey, Dad, I got to see the movie that everybody else has seen. Well, that's going to be a flag, all right? Hey, Dad, this video game is really cool, and it's really awesome, but it's a little violent. Is that okay? No, son, that's not our values in this home. We're not going to do that. And I'm watching so closely for signs like that. I'm watching to make sure that, you know, whether it's their media choices or their friends' choices, that they're saying, you know what, I can let that go, you know, because I know that at the end of the day, it's more important that I follow God.
Sure. I think what you're saying, it boils down to discernment. I know at Shepherd's Hill Academy, I mean, we're broadcasting here from the campus of Shepherd's Hill Academy, where kids come from all over the country and around the world, spend a year with us and acquire a biblical worldview over that course of time. Our goal is not to just have them leave here as kids who want to, with a mindset to survive the culture, but to actually leave here transformed, to be a change agent to it. Should this be a similar mission for Christian parents who opt for the public school?
Absolutely. It is so vital that we just take some practical steps to be able to just pour into our kids. We're following Jesus. It's just something we do every day. I know in our family, we're passionate about getting around God's word every day. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, but we want to have family devotions together. We talk about God sightings. You know, what did you see God at work today? We want to make sure that they know that when they're at the public schools, we're looking for God at work through them. In our family, we take time to read missionary biographies together because we want to make sure that these kids are wired in knowing how great men of the faith have gone on before them. We'll do a thing called family worship, you know, and a lot of times it's just a chance for our family to get around the living room together, and we have a great time. A lot of times on Sunday nights, we're just, you know, singing songs together and talking about God at work in our lives. You know, the other thing is that if we're going to be involved in the public schools, I know for my wife and I, it is vital that my wife and I are a deep, intrinsic part of that culture. And if you were in our school district and you talk to any parent, they would be able to tell you about Rick and Lisa because, you know what, we're there. We're part of the PTA. We put on events for the kids. We put on the parties. We put on the kinds of things to let these kids know, hey, we value you. And for us, that means this is a family mission field. We're together in owning this with relationships that my wife and I have with other teachers and administrators and with other students. And then my kids, they have relationships with their peers. It's just a neat web of relationships that we're trying to all be there to represent Christ. But above all else, wherever our kids go to school, and we all know stories of kids who've had all sorts of different kinds of schooling options. At the end of the day, I think it's far more about what mom and dad are doing day in and day out to nurture the hearts of these kids. And that's got to start within our own hearts and lives to make sure that we are in God's word and that we are seeking him. Because if we're just drifting, I'll tell you, Satan, he's the enemy. He's looking for someone to devour and he will eat you up. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So I believe that every parent has an opportunity to tap into that reservoir of God at work in their lives.
Rick, you are quite a reservoir as well, you being involved with Ron Hutchcraft Ministries, and I know that you and Jordan have a music ministry together as well. If people want to connect with you after the program, find out more about what you're doing and use you as a resource, perhaps, how would you prefer that they connect with you?
Sure. We have a couple options. Jordan and I have a website that we do together, a blog site. It's simply trumpiano.com, trumpiano, you can spell that out. .com and Jordan does trumpet and I do piano, and so we do music together, and you can connect with us there or find me on Twitter. I'm at Rick Whitmer, RickWhitmer. I'd love to connect with you there.
Excellent. Guys, thanks so much for being with us. It's been a real blessing, and we're going to enjoy some pie here in a moment.
Rick and Jordan, how about praying for us today?
All right. Dear Jesus, I just I thank you for all the people out there listening, and please help us to really be able to just be able to live for you, whether we're in homeschool or private school or public school. I pray that you'll just be able to help us be rocks and not Play-Doh in our world that we're in.
Lord Jesus, right now, thank you so much for this time together. I do pray for that parent right now who is just struggling, who is living in fear right now, that their kid is not going to be able to make it spiritually through this minefield that we live in. Lord, we don't need to live in fear as parents, Lord. I pray for that parent right now that you would just touch their heart and just help them to know that you are walking with them. I pray that we would just be lights for you in this generation, and that we would be able to challenge the darkness to be in this world but not of this world, Lord, that we can dare to be Daniels and to be different and to be able to be salt and light that you call us to be. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for this time together. We wrap all this up in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Licensed to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy in Martin, Georgia. And if you've been helped or encouraged by what you've heard here, we hope that you'll take time to visit licensedtoparent.org, where you'll find our blog, archives of our past programs, and, of course, links to connect with us via Facebook and Twitter. You'll also find a donate button in the upper right portion of the page, which we hope you'll click in order to become one of our ministry partners. Your financial support is what makes it possible to continue working with teens here at Shepherd's Hill Academy and parents through the Licensed to Parent broadcast, and your gift in any amount will be a tremendous blessing. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rossell, inviting you to join us again next time for Licensed to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.